Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Hello and welcome to a new episode of the Good Old Podcast. I'm Jackie Franchulli for Wahoo's 24/7, and today we're joined by college basketball writer for 24/7 Sports, Isaac Trotter. Isaac, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
I feel like this is kind of like an emergency pod for Virginia fans after what happened on Monday night in Blacksburg. Isaac, we were planning to do this podcast and we waited for it after the game, but I don't think anyone would have expected what happened in Blacksburg, where Virginia Tech had the biggest lopsided win over UVA since 1961.
No, it was stunning. You know, 23 minutes without a jumper is pretty crazy to me as well, right? Like, you just don't see stuff like that happen throughout college basketball very often. And I genuinely think it's one of those games where if you hated Virginia and you thought that this whole month-long streak where they're playing really good basketball was a fake, you go, hey, well, there's my game. We finally had it. This proves me that I was right. And then if you like Virginia, you go, well, that game doesn't matter, right? Like, this won't ever happen again. You're not going to have 23 minutes without a jumper. You're not going to have a 9-minute scoring drought. Like, that won't happen. It's clearly a one-off. And so all of these different agendas, it's going to be fun to see, like, which side of the table people decide to pick, because you could really, you know, continue to pick and choose whichever one you want at this point.
Yeah, Virginia's had, obviously, in the beginning of the season, on the road was difficult for Virginia. They had a couple of double-digit losses. It felt like that win against Wake Forest was kind of like the wake-up call, if you will, for Virginia. And then they went on that nice run. They got the nice quad one win over Clemson in that tight game on the road. So this was definitely unexpected, because things were trending better. And when you look at all the brackets, they seemed that Virginia was firmly in the NCAA tournament. How much does this, on a national scale, how much does this change Virginia's trajectory, or is it really in their hands still?
Yeah, I think it's still in their hands. I still think this team is an NCAA tournament team, but I think it definitely changes the narrative around this group. You know, I think it's hard to trust them right now when you see different games like this where they can get blown out of the building. It's happened multiple times so far this year where against solid teams, like, Virginia isn't up to snuff and isn't able to compete. And so, like, if you look at them in that 8-9 matchup, or if they're like that 9 seed, I don't think anybody's going to be like, hey, let's put Virginia in the Sweet 16, because that team can definitely beat a 1 seed. They can go toe-to-toe with UConn. They can go toe-to-toe with, you know, a Purdue, stuff like that. Like, I don't think nationally people are going to think that when you watch it. But I also think that the eye test has to matter as well. Like, what this group can do defensively, this team can cause you a lot of problems. And they weren't great last night defensively. Virginia Tech made a lot of I thought they moved the ball really well. I thought their decision-making was on point. You know, I thought Virginia was still kind of struggling a little bit on, like, hey, are we post-trapping? Are we not post-trapping? Like, we try a little bit of this, we try a little bit of that. No, nothing's working. And it just kind of spiraled from there. But I still think this group has a chance to really come together and be a different team. But I think from a national perspective, people are like, well, that's the game I saw. Like, I now know that, like, Virginia's not going to be able to really reel off a run. I still think this team is a tournament team. I still think in a win or go home thing, you'd probably bank on having Tony Bennett on your side as an asset, and you find a way to grind it out and get something done. But it's definitely scary when you look at this team and go, how, like, you have to make shots in this age of college basketball. You just have to. And I think you can look at the shot profile. You can look at some of the things that Virginia tries to do offensively, and that can scare you a little bit, right? Like all the pin downs for 18-foot jumpers, like could we maybe move that back two steps and shoot threes a little bit more? Like that, those are the things that you kind of look at where potential stumbling blocks for this group to really, you know, go on a run in March.
Yeah, I feel like some of the guys were passing up some looks and going for the extra pass against Virginia Tech rather than taking that three ball. But you talked about defense. This has been an uncharacteristic year for Virginia when it comes to defense. You know, we talked about their stout defense, but there was two games in a row they were allowing opponents over 70 points. It wasn't until like that Wake Forest game recently that they were able to kind of clamp down a little bit in their defense. And, you know, one of the biggest drivers of the defensive play has been Ryan Dunn. He's been having a great time defensively. But those jumpers haven't been agreeing with them a little bit with Ryan. But defensively, he's been doing great. And I think that is the key for Virginia is Ryan Dunn getting those jumpers and being an asset offensively, because we know what type of assets he has considering his steals and block stats currently.
No question. I completely agree with you. You know, I thought like his game against Wake Forest was phenomenal. Like maybe one of the best games I've seen from a single player this year, just like defensively. I thought he was awesome, you know, guarding all of these different guys. And I just keep waiting for him to get that switch offensively where he starts to like be a little bit more assertive. And we saw it last night against Virginia Tech. Like there are multiple switches where I think MJ Collins got the matchup on him, and Ryan Dunn is 4 inches taller than him. He has the ball in the paint and he's hesitant to really go up and score. Like he's hesitant to really go up and be aggressive and use his size, use his frame. And part of me wonders if it's because of the free throws. He's scared to get fouled, I think, at times too. You know, that's natural. That's not like just a Ryan Dunn thing. That happens for lots of players in college basketball. But it's just really one of those situations where he has to work through that. And he has to understand that, like, hey, when I'm aggressive, that changes our group. When I put pressure on the rim, that changes our group. Like I can't, you know, I can't let Virginia Tech get away with putting a small guard on me. I'm big. I'm strong. I'm physical. I'm one of the best athletic wings in the country. I'm bigger than this dude. Like, I got to go put him in the weight room and go to the rim and finish with confidence. And if I go to the free throw line, I'm going to step up and I'm not going to miss him. And like, that's like that evolution with Ryan Dunn that I'm just kind of waiting for. Because defensively, like you said, like, I mean, he was phenomenal, and he's been phenomenal for long stretches this year, and you're just kind of waiting for that switch to flip for him on the other end.
Yeah, it seems like Ryan Dunn and Reese Beekman have been the two most, I guess, consistent players in their regard for Virginia. I feel like if those two are Virginia is in good hands. I mean, Beekman, his stats, he's averaging, 14.2 points a game, 6 assists, 2.3 steals per game. I mean, he's had a really nice stretch here for Virginia as well. How would you evaluate, because all our eyes when we talked about this season was on both Ryan Dunn and Reese Beekman, because those are the guys who are talking about NBA drafts and NBA potential. I feel like, again, those two are what we still consider when we look at Virginia.
No question. Yeah, I thought that Reese has been, you know, I'm thinking about my ACC, all first team all ACC ballot, and it's tough because there's some really, really good players, really good guards. Like, how do you separate Hunter Salas and Reese Beekman? But I thought that Reese has been, you know, as good pound for pound as any guard in college basketball. And I think that coming into the year, I was a little bit hesitant on like fully buying in on like, hey, he's going to be able to tap that alpha score button. But he's been able to do that for long stretches. Like his ability to get into the paint, create separation, get to the rim. I think his angles this year have been better. You know, we obviously know what he can do defensively, but he has played up to par. I think when you're looking at maybe why Virginia hasn't necessarily become like that next tier, reach that next tier of elite, it's like because some of the transfers didn't necessarily pop. It took a while for Jordan Miner to get into this rotation. Andrew Rohde was a guy that I really liked on film. I thought his film was nice. I know a lot of coaches really liked him and thought that was a really, you know, a good place for him to go to Virginia. And it just hasn't worked. And so I think those are some of the reasons that haven't necessarily that Virginia's reached that, like, hey, we're definitely a top two team in the ACC. Hey, we're definitely a top 20 team nationally. Hey, we definitely can go on a run. It's because maybe some of the pieces that Tony Bennett and this crew were counting on haven't necessarily coalesced right away. It's not been Reese Beekman's fault, though. I think he's been tremendous, and I think he's a first team all ACC guy pretty much a lock. Like, I'm finding a way to keep him on. I'll make someone else. I'll take someone else off. I'm not taking Reese Beekman off.
Yeah, it's a different college basketball world right now. You know, I remember seeing, you know, guys that transferred to Virginia during, you know, the 2015, 2018 era where they get to redshirt a year because you have to sit out a year, and it benefited them because they're learning the pack line defense. And now you're kind of thrown in there, like a guy like Jordan Meyer had to adjust. And he honestly, him coming in was a big driving force and why they won 9 out of 10 games, him defensively and being in the post and having that physicality and being that, I guess, the dog that you want helped Virginia getting that winning streak.
No question. Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, I remember when you talked in the preseason, we're like, all right, Jordan Meyer probably going to get the start. That's what I thought. And you're like, I don't know about that. Like, you're like, they might go with Jacob Groves, like Blake Buchanan's like getting some time. And then me, I just never assumed that Jordan Meyer being banished to like the shadow realm was on the realm of possibilities. And so like for the first little bit of the season that he was just not part of this rotation, I was honestly stunned. I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. And so to see him come in to this groove and start playing at a better level and finally understand the scheme, and that, I understand that, like, you have to earn it in practice, understand the scheme, understand what you need to do. And for him to get into the rotation finally was like my like come to Jesus moment. I was like, oh, thank God. Like, I do know a little bit about basketball because I liked him in the portal and I thought he was going to help out Virginia a little bit. And I think he genuinely has. And I think it's also the ripple effects from him starting to assert himself as like a dude that they can count on is going to help Blake Buchanan in the long run. It helps make this rotation differently. And I'm not going to get like just so hung up on like the one Virginia Tech loss, because that doesn't, you know, it doesn't like cover up what Virginia accomplished in the last month. Like, this team was trending in the right direction. Yes, Virginia Tech is a speed bump, but it's also one game. As long as you don't make it two games or three games, and that long as it doesn't spiral, it can be just one game. And I think that the previous month and Jordan Meyer, a huge part of it, can give you some hope a little bit if you're a Virginia fan. Like, hey, this wasn't, I mean, we're not a horrible basketball team. We are still a good team, and we have this month long of evidence to prove it.
So you're telling me this is not panic mode, Virginia fans, if you're listening to this, please do not panic after just one game.
Well, the thing is like, if we have one game where a blowout loss this year is going to like end your season, like blow up college basketball, because that's happening to everybody. Auburn is an awesome team and they go on the road and get absolutely hammered. Alabama is an awesome top 10 team. They go on the road to Tennessee and just get destroyed. You know, UConn goes on the road to Seton Hall and gets beat by 15. Creighton on the road just gets hammered by UConn, looks like completely out of play. Marquette is top 5 in the country. They go to UConn, just obliterated by 30. They look like they're a JV team. Like, if we're going to eliminate every single team that gets blown out on the road this year, then everybody sucks this year, because that's kind of happening to pretty much every team. I think the stat I looked up was only 3 of the top 50 teams on KenPom have not lost a game by double figures this year. And a lot of them are coming on the road.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's definitely a different world in college basketball. The portal allows a little bit more guys moving around, which means a lot of these teams are, you know, a little tighter competitively because of that. And kind of before we let you go, we're going to talk about the NCAA tournament. And it's the way Virginia ends the season. This is a tough schedule for Virginia to end the season. They have number 10, North Carolina at home, but then they travel to Boston College, and then they travel to 8th rank of Duke. And then they have Georgia Tech, and who knows about Georgia Tech, at home at Virginia. So this is a tough final four games for Virginia. When you're looking at the NCAA scenarios, the question that I get from Virginia fans, how many wins does Virginia needs to stay in that tournament?
Yeah, I think for me, it really comes down to this North Carolina and Duke game. Like, both of those, if you find a way to split that, I think you're in, because that's like, both of those would be like elite quad one wins. You know, there's quad one wins and there's like these high quad wins. I'm not a bracketologist. I'll leave that to other people, right? But they call it like this, like next tier of a quad one win, those high quad one wins. Both of those would count. So I think if Virginia gets one of those wins, that pretty much puts you in the tournament, as long as you don't lose at home to Georgia Tech. And as long as, I mean, you could probably even lose to Boston College. If you had one of the wins against North Carolina or Duke, you're probably fine. So if you go 2-2 down the stretch with one of those wins against North Carolina, and then you don't, you know, fall on your face in the ACC tournament, maybe you win one or two games there. I think they're definitely in. And then if you go 3-1, we're talking, you're certainly in before ACC tournament. And then we're just kind of figuring out your seed line there a little bit. And I don't know if I would love, if I'm Hubert Davis, if I would love that Virginia just got beat like this, because I have a feeling that they're going to come back home on Saturday and they're going to play probably their best game of the season. And North Carolina is going to catch Virginia at a really, really bad time. And if you get that win at home, quad one opportunities at home are just vital. A big elite quad one win like that is enormous. If you get that win at home, I think Virginia's dancing. And then we're just talking about seed, whether that's an 8 seed, whether that's a 9 seed, whether that's a 10 seed. You know, I think if we've known anything about college basketball this year, I think I would probably want to be on that 7-10 line. You know, I think the gap between the 2 seeds and the 8 seeds is a lot different. And there's that, you know, there's number 3 team in the country to the number 30 team in the country is pretty close so far, I think, this year. So if you can get on that bottom of the bracket, that makes more sense to me. So if you can find a way to beat North Carolina, maybe you find a way to take care of your business against Boston College and Georgia Tech, and you go 3-1 down the stretch, maybe we could potentially talk about Virginia as a 7 seed if they get a little hot in the ACC tournament.
The one thing that I think Virginia is battling too is this perception of ACC basketball. I feel like that's what they had to do last year too. There's people who are saying they're going to have only 3 teams in a tournament. Some people are saying 4 teams in a tournament. How hard is battling that perception for UVA?
I mean, it's a real thing. And I think it's completely unfair. Like, I think this whole, like, oh, the ACC stinks and here's all my stats why, like, and this is why the ACC is not going to do well in the NCAA tournament is, like, so, like, misguided to me. Like, we have to watch basketball and watch these games. And you cannot tell me that, like, when you watch North Carolina, you watch Duke, you watch Clemson, you watch Wake Forest, those, all four of those teams are tournament teams. Virginia's a tournament team, right? Like, that makes sense. I don't think we should judge these teams at the top of the bracket and, like, how well they're going to do in March based off the fact that Louisville's a dumpster fire and Georgia Tech is in year one of a rebuild and Notre Dame is in year one of a rebuild under both of those coaches are really good, or judge those guys because Miami stinks this year and hasn't lived up to the hype, or Boston College hasn't really fully hit their groove, and Syracuse year one of a retool and hasn't really hit their groove, or Florida State is a little bit iffy. Like, the bottom of the league should not impact how we view the top of the league, you know, what they can do in March, because Clemson has an all-league guy in PJ Hall, has great guards, can really shoot it. That team can advance. Wake Forest, if they get in the tournament, no one is going to want to play them. They're a really talented team with shooting and playmaking and size and depth, and that's a really good team. North Carolina and Duke, that speaks for itself. No one's signing up to play Virginia in March. They're not. Like, I understand the history, but, like, that sounds awful to try to go up against that Virginia defense on a short turnaround if you had to play them, you know, 36 hours after playing your first round game. Like, that doesn't sound that fun to line up for that. So I think we have to, like, some of college basketball analysts just drive me nuts, because it's like we talk about the ACC as this big bunched up unit, and we're ignoring, like, what these teams actually look like, the matchups on the floor. Like, no one cares when you run, you know, you're lining up for that 40-minute game on that first Thursday of the NCAA tournament, what the rest of the ACC did. It's all about, like, the here and now and what this team can do. And the teams at the top of the ACC are really talented and really good, and they're really going to have a chance to make runs, and no one's going to be surprised if 3 or 4 of them are in the Sweet 16. Like, I genuinely wouldn't, not one bit.
See, guys, there are national writers out there who love Virginia basketball on the ACC. So that's Isaac Trotter. He loves UVA and ACC. So there is guys out there. Isaac, thanks so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And thanks again for Isaac for joining us on the show. It's always nice to have him here to talk about college hoops, and we'll make sure to bring him back on the show before tournament time, especially because we know he is an ACC hater. But yeah, definitely the ACC perception needs to change around the nation. I feel like they are unfairly judged among other conferences. That was what happened last year as well. And then suddenly there were ACC teams going deep in the tournament. So again, the ACC perception needs some marketing help. And we've talked about how we still feel like the ACC needs a little bit better on the marketing perception side, even in football, I think, too. So, and we saw that with what happened in the college football playoffs. Again, the ACC, that's something I can go on a tangent for about 20, 30 minutes about what they need to do to really change this perception nationally in basketball and football, to be fair. Now, before we kind of go back in the beginning of the season, we announced through our friends over there at Roback that Reese Beekman was the Roback, part of the Roback U program. And then there was a discount link that you are able to use so you can get a discount to some of the apparel available there. So we're just going to mention it again since we're heading towards tournament time. So if you want to check out what Roback has and take advantage of that discount link, the link is available down there on the YouTube, kind of like the caption box. But you also can find it on Wahoo's 24/7. See, I'm going to show off. I'm wearing one of the Roback gear right now. So you can take a look at the women and men's apparel at Roback. Again, just get over to the link from that you have on that comment box so you can help kind of some of the monetary funds will go to Reese Beekman through those links, but it's also that discount code as well. So that's available there. Thank you all of you for joining us. So before you go, why don't you go and like this video, like this channel, click on the bell so you're notified whenever videos are posted. And also we're going to take this week, and obviously we'll cover basketball. We're also looking ahead to spring football. We are going to be break down each position as we head over to spring football. It's going to start on March 19th. So we'll be at those practices as well. It's the time of the year where we're juggling between spring football, ACC tournament, and March Madness, but we are planning to cover as much as we can. Michael, my amazing UVA student intern, has been helping us out a ton as we kind of mingle everything together and cover recruiting as well as spring football and all that stuff. So Michael and I will have you covered as much as possible through every sport. And then next week we're going to go back and we're going to talk about recruiting for Virginia football, because there's going to be a couple guys that are setting up visits for spring. There's going to be another junior day in the spring. Like last year, they had a junior day also during spring practice. They've had a couple junior days in the winter. They're going to have a few in the spring. So we're going to be kind of looking forward to that as well. So next week we're going to go on Virginia football recruiting. So look forward to that. And we're also going to break down each of the positions in 2025, looking forward to on Wahoo's 24/7. So again, if you are interested in following Virginia football recruiting, also keep tabs of Virginia basketball. And we're also having our Virginia basketball recruiting analyst helping us with UVA basketball hoops information. You can like, comment, subscribe to YouTube, and also follow our work at Wahoo's247.com. So for Isaac Trotter, I'm Jackie Francioli, and hope you guys have a great rest to your week.
Let's go! It's the most all-star studded challenge ever, and this time it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars, new season now streaming on Paramount+. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.